is time now for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. Support for the segment brought to us by the members of the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. They are inviting you to join our local business leader community to get connected, stay informed, and drive progress. Visit their website, carolinachamber.org, to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership. It is Thursday, so we're talking Chapel Hill, normally joined by Mayor Pam Heminger, but she is away this week, and in her place, someone that we here at 97.9 The Hill know quite well, that is communications manager for the town of Chapel Hill, Ran Northam. Ran, how are you?
Doing very well. Glad to be back in the studio, and thanks for having me today.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks so much for filling in, and there's a good bit for us to talk about. Obviously, our community seeing a tropical storm out there right now, and anytime there's a lot of rain all at once and the flash flood talks start, we know in Chapel Hill that that's something that gets people kind of on high alert. Any indications so far from folks that you've been in touch with around the town government that we've seen any storm damage in the Chapel Hill area?
No, thankfully, we haven't right now. Actually, as you were just doing that weather report, I pulled up our gauge. We've got a flood gauge. It's not ours. It's the U.S. Geological Survey's gauge over on Bowling Creek. And when we see that gauge specifically go up to about 6 feet, that's when we'll start to see flooding in the usual spots, some of the lower spots. And right now, it hasn't even eclipsed 4 feet. So we still have some wiggle room. And thankfully, the radar, I'm not an expert on the radar, but thankfully the radar is looking like it's improving throughout the rest of the afternoon and evening. So, something can always fly through there and drop an inch of rain in half an hour, but I think for right now it looks like we're in the clear.
That's definitely good news, and of course we're going to keep everybody posted as this does go on. Another pretty big event obviously went much smoother. Well, this is going pretty smooth as far as storms and weather goes, but we know that it was great weather this past weekend for 4th of July. Lots of folks in the Chapel Hill and Carrboro area really excited to see the town put on a fireworks display again this year. Not as much programming presentation around it, but after not having anything at all during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, I think a lot of people were excited. How did the 4th of July event go from the town government side?
Absolutely. It went very well. The pyrotechnic crew that put on an excellent show. We were promised 20 minutes of a show, and I think they ended up getting us 23 or 24 minutes worth of a show. It was really exciting. I know that more people wanted to be there. We wanted to have more people there. And, next year we certainly hope to get to that point. If everything gets under control with the pandemic and we can get our buses running again and all of those regular things, get some more entertainment out there. I know that that is definitely the goal. This was put together on very short notice and, with limitations because of the pandemic, that's the way things went. But the feedback from our community really was very positive. We did hear some things that people would love to see go differently. And again, a lot of that revolves around just being able to get more people there. And by next year, hopefully things will be more under control and we can certainly do that. But it was a great show. I actually got to see that same pyrotechnic crew the night before on July 3rd in Fuquay. They put on the Fuquay Arena show, which is always on July 3rd. So I got to see them twice. And they really do put on an exciting show, and it was really great. So I hope everybody who was able to get there enjoyed it, and we hope to see more people there next year for sure.
I think a lot of folks had forgotten that it has now largely switched from being in Keenan Stadium to Southern Village. When the town put out the announcement this year, we're able to do it again. I think the pandemic in between made people forget. They did it at Southern Village
right.
in 2019 as well. Can you talk about how that space has been good so far, or some benefits of holding it there compared to holding it in Keenan Stadium, which that switch was made for folks who might not remember, partially because Keenan Stadium is now a turf field instead of a grass field.
That's right, and there's a lot that goes along with that. You think of turf probably not necessarily being flammable, but it can be charred, and so there's a big cost that goes with that as well. You'd have to cover that whole field, and there's a huge cost that comes with covering the field and protecting that asset that UNC put in there. So, yes, we moved it in 2019 to Southern Village, and there were some growing pains there. We know that for sure. There were traffic issues getting people out of Southern Village. That was one big improvement that we saw this year, is that we were able to think about that plan in advance, get people out of the Southern Village community very quickly, and just, usher that traffic out very quickly. And it was much faster this year than in 2019, for sure. And that was not a capacity. You can't say, there were fewer people there here this year. We filled all of the parking places in Southern Village. So the traffic should have been, therefore, pretty much the same. So yes, that was moved, and so we were building upon that. We'll build upon it again next year. Hopefully, have some programming on the green there in Southern Village, and more of the restaurants and food trucks possibly being there, and all that kind of thing. Entertainment. I can't remember if there were bounce houses or anything like that in 2019, but more entertainment for kids, for the whole family. Make it more of a, you know, an evening-long event rather than just the fireworks.
We're speaking with Rand Northam, who's the communications manager for the town of Chapel Hill. He's filling in for Mayor Pam Heminger, but if you're looking for anything town government-related, head to townofchapelhill.org to find that when it comes to Chapel Hill. One big project that we know that's happening downtown right now is work on East Rosemary Street, and it's something we've been following as a radio station. I think a lot of residents have been following for a while, too, talking about some redevelopment that's going to be happening there with Grub Properties. And one of the very first steps of that is the demolition of a parking deck at 125 East Rosemary Street, the CBS parking deck, I think is how some people know it. That's coming up quite soon. What's the word on that? And if it hasn't started yet, when is it set to begin?
That's right. So what people will begin to see, the first steps that kind of give you the sign, aside from getting some communication from the town, we'll be putting out communication when this is about to happen. But the first things you'll see are fences starting to go up, and that'll be the indication that that parking deck is about to come down. They've put our economic development office, Dwight Bassett, and others in the manager's office have started to put out flyers along with parking services, put out flyers on cars to make sure that they know if they're a usual parker in that space, of where they can go and how they can get more information. ParkOnTheHill.com is the website that talks about and shows you all the different parking locations across the town that the town operates. The Wallace deck will obviously, right across the street, still be available. There's a portion of the Rosemary surface lot, which is right across the street from the CBS or the Rosemary deck that's about to come down. There's a portion of that lot that's actually going to be taken up by construction equipment for all of these projects, but that lot will still be accessible throughout this as well. So, but that's the first thing you'll see. You'll see fences start to go up and protective measures. There might be some lane shifts involved with all of this as well, and then that deck will be demolished here coming up pretty soon. We know it's not happening this week. We might start to see some of those fences go up next week, maybe not even as early as that, but the town will announce that information broadly as soon as we have those details on when that schedule does begin.
That does make sense. And I imagine that folks hearing that a deck is going to be destroyed, we've done reporting that the new deck is going to be more than what that deck and what the Wallace deck, which is the other deck that will eventually be destroyed and replaced, has combined. But it does lead to this kind of in-between period where suddenly the CBS deck is not there. And we've seen a lot of folks sharing on social media, well, what does that mean, that parking is going to get worse in Chapel Hill this year? What is the town working on right now to try and keep that in mind, or at least let people know some other options?
Yeah, I think keeping that parkonthehill.com website in mind will be a great resource for you. Make sure that, you know, if you're having trouble finding a space in a normal spot, there are other lots and decks available throughout town. So keep that website handy. You can use the Park Mobile app as well if you're going to any of the in-person meters to pay. You know, you can walk away from your car, remember your spot number, and just park with pay with the Park Mobile app. That's always helpful too. Under 140 West, there are a couple public spaces, you know, not a ton as well, but that might be one that you don't necessarily always see.
That's my favorite one
there too.
That's my favorite one. I think it's the best kept secret in town, is being able to park there, especially since it's got electric vehicle charging, which I don't use, but I know that some folks do. Paid parking back in place for the town as well. I think that's something we haven't talked with Pam about yet, but for folks who might not have parked in those decks yet, that is worth noting that the parking fees are now back in place after about a year.
Yeah, and again, you know, I always use the Park Mobile app. I love the convenience of that. And the best thing about it, too, is maybe you don't know how long you're going in for. You can set it for 30 minutes and then it get an alert right to your phone that says your parking is about to expire. You don't have to run back to your car or to the meter. You can go on your phone, increase the time, and stay right in that spot up to that 3-hour limit. That's the cap on all of our parking. But just remember that, too, because that's always helpful, so you don't have to You don't want one of those tickets to show up on your windshield as best as possible.
Once again, parkonthehill.org, the website to go to for Chapel Hill Parking, and townofchapelhill.org, the website to go to for all things local government. We're speaking with communications manager for the town of Chapel Hill, Rand Northam, and something we've talked about in the past, Rand, talking about cars and safety and parking and stuff like that, is during the summer season, we see a little bit more break-ins to cars, to vehicles, than we usually do through the rest of the year. And last year it was crazy, like more than 200 break-ins between March and September. Doesn't look like we're on pace for that yet, but we are seeing an increase of that as of late, with a couple of specific incidents and some reported even yesterday in the Chapel Hill area. What are some suggestions that the town of Chapel Hill, the Chapel Hill Police Department, which I know you work with pretty directly, what do they have to suggest to folks who are parking downtown, might be worried about this, or that they need to keep in mind to be safe?
Yeah, and I think, so first of all, this could be at any area in town. It could be downtown. It could be in your neighborhood. And I think that's the thing that people don't necessarily always think about is, one, if you leave your car unlocked and with items in plain view, that is just easy pickings for anybody who wants to walk by, lift a handle, grab something, and run away. No Ring doorbell or anything like that, or any sign, is going to keep somebody from doing that. Now, video surveillance or something might then help the police department track those people down, but now that damage has been done. And that's the majority of what we see. We don't see smash and grabs. We see unlocked cars, things left on, you know, on the seat, in the center console, anything like that. So the number one thing we tell everybody to do is take any valuables that you have and either, at the very least, lock them into, you know, your glove box, your center console, definitely in the trunk. That's a great place as well, out of sight, out of mind. Or take it inside with you. That's even better advice for what you could do, is please take it inside. It's worth the extra 2 minutes of grabbing your things and taking them inside, so you don't have to go through that headache. Because we have seen doors that are still left unlocked. People don't want to entice somebody to smash a window and get and rummage through their car. If they do leave it unlocked for that very reason, they don't end up getting away with anything because there are no valuables in there. So that's the number one thing. Other things are, you know, park in well-lit area, park in area with heavier traffic, more either vehicle traffic or foot traffic. If you can, if you have access to a garage, you know, at your home, park inside the garage. Don't leave it outside on the street or anything like that. We know not everybody has that that ability, but those are some of the key points to remember and to keep in mind. And we've had some catalytic converters stolen in recent times as well. Those kind of come and go. That's the same sort of thing. A lot of the same, you obviously can't lock that part up, but some of the same advice to do: well-lit areas, high traffic areas, areas that people who want to take advantage of you will not be as interested in going for that for maybe a smaller cost.
We've got to begin wrapping up here with Rand Northam, the communications manager for the town of Chapel Hill. Anything else happening around either the local government or just the community you want to highlight here?
Sure. We've got another big project that's coming that you'll see right here on Estes Drive, the Estes connectivity project. Still not a schedule established for that one. I'm sure the mayor will share more with you about that in the coming weeks, but that will be on the MLK side of Estes Drive here, and will be a widening project. We'll be adding, not widening as in extra lanes, but you'll see more amenities on either side of the road for that. And there's going to be some slowdowns and some traffic hiccups along the way for that project, but it will certainly be worth it in the end for all the amenities that are going to be added for people walking, people biking, and really be a better experience along Estes Drive.
We know that is definitely something folks are going to want to follow. Townofchapelhill.org, the place to go to learn more and to find out when they have those updates. Rand Northam, thanks so much for stopping by and filling in for Conversations with the Mayors.
Absolutely, and we ask everybody to sign up for e-news on our website as well. Thanks so much, Brayden.
It is 3:46 here on 97.9 The Hill. Going to step aside, but when we come back, a look at our local and virtual events calendar.